Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Mr. Smart, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you?
Very well,
and
thank you.
To the listeners?
Yes, very well, thank you, man. How are you doing?
I am very well. And yourself?
Yeah, very well, man. Thank you so much. We missed you last week. I understand you were in court, but all is good, man. I hope you have been well.
I have been very well. I've been very well.
Lovely, lovely. Now, we started the conversation on bullying, I think some 2 weeks ago, and we covered the legal framework addressing bullying in Southern African schools. However, there was much left to be discussed, and so we, once again, are going to be just delving into that. What would you say is the minimum age, or what does the law say is the minimum age of criminal capacity? And what happens when a bully falls below that age?
Okay, brilliant, brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Zama, for the question. I just want to very, very quickly recap on the discussion that we had before I attend to your question.
Lovely. Mm.
All right. When we spoke the last time, we said often when there's issues in school of bullying, the people that are involved are minors. Mm. What are minors and who are minors? Minors are generally children under the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
There's different categories, and I'll get to the categories. Right. Now, when we spoke about bullying, we said that it's the minors who are involved, right? But that doesn't imply can occur vertically as well. In other words, occur from top down.
Mm.
We have found situations, obviously, where minors bully their educators and so on and so forth.
Mm.
And we spoke about the four pieces of legislation that are involved and the intersection between the four pieces of legislation. We spoke about the Protection of Harassment Act. We spoke about the Child Justice Act. We spoke about the Children's Act, as well as the South African Schools Act. We then defined bullying, and we spoke about the three elements of bullying, right? We said that bullying is a form of aggressive behavior, and that it usually forms a pattern over time, and it is as a result of a power imbalance. In other words, the one party is unable to defend themselves. We also saw that bullying actually violates a number of constitutional rights. For instance, it violates the right to equality, the right to human dignity, freedom and security of a person, the right to privacy, and it violates the rights in terms of Section 12 of protection against violence, torture, and cruel and inhuman treatment. Now, we then said, in terms of Section 28 of the Constitution, children are afforded special and additional constitutional protection. And we said in terms of Section 28, the rights of a child are of paramount importance. And then we spoke about the South African Schools Act. In the South African Schools Act, we said that the governing bodies of public schools must adopt a code of conduct.
Mm-hmm.
In that code of conduct, it must set out the behavior of children and how the behavior or the misbehavior of a child must be dealt with. When there's misbehavior, it must it is actually outlined in terms of Section 8(5) of the South African Schools Act, how such behavior is dealt with. And then we come back now to the question that you, you're asking in relation to age.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right. The Act, which is the Children's Act, it differentiates between three categories of age groups. Now, I'm going to talk about the age of these different ages, starting from the age of 7 and under, a child who is 7 years and under,
yeah. Oh, Sindiso. Hello. I think we got lost there with him, and we're going to be seeing if we can actually try and get a hold of Cindy. So he was telling us about the child who is 7 years and under, and I do think that his line just got cut off literally in the middle of the conversation there. So we are going to be seeing if we can actually go back and try to get him on that line. We're talking about bullying, and of course he was addressing a question in terms of the minimal age of criminal capacity. So at what age can you then be held criminally, liable for your actions? Also very, very important that we talk about that particular one, because but bullying at schools can be traumatic. Actually, I do know that some people who have gone through bullying in their earlier years, they still live to tell the story of how horrific, traumatic, and also a painful but that experience was. So we've got to be trying to get a hold of Osindiso. Hi, Osindiso. I'm not quite sure what's happening with the lines today. Yes, can you hear? So you're saying that the child who's under 7 is not held liable?
Yes, that is correct. In Latin, they say that that child is doli et culpae in capax. In other words, they are not capable of being liable for fault. Right. The Child Justice Act generally it emphasizes restorative justice. Mm-hmm. Your question in the start was, what happens when a child under the age of culpability is involved in such an instance?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Child Justice Act emphasizes that we must emphasize on restorative justice, mm-hmm. instead of punitive justice. In other words, we must try and rectify the injustice and rehabilitate the offender. A balance needs to be created between the rights of the accused child as well as the rights of the community. Mm. Now, where a child who is 10 years and older, but under the age of 14, that child is presumed to be doli in capax, mm-hmm. Unless there is that child is found beyond reasonable doubt to have the necessary criminal capacity. Mm-hmm. In other words, there has to be an inquiry that is beyond reasonable doubt that that child is doli in capax. In other words, is not capable of criminal liability. Mm-hmm. What happens now is that in terms of restorative justice, what we look at is situations where we take the child for counseling, or we take the child for therapy, goes through rehabilitation, a probation officer is appointed to deal with the child, and that probation officer is entitled to arrange a meeting with the child as well as the child's parents. What the probation officer seeks to understand is the child. The probation officer would draft a plan that is suited to the child, mm-hmm. and the relevant circumstances.
Yeah.
And then we look at an instance where we divert the matter out of the formal criminal justice system. And in that diversion process, the diversion process usually deals with the child outside of the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. That underlines the importance of accountability. So the child is taught accountability, to be accountable for their actions and so on and so forth. Mm. What we seek to meet there is we need to meet the interest of the child in question. We need to promote integration of the child into his or her community, and we must provide a platform for the victim to express themselves and their feelings. This in turn also promotes reconciliation between the child and the victim. It prevents stigmatization of a child, because now that child is not going to be looked at as a criminal. And you know, when these things happen, then you start looking at the child as an offender, as opposed to, because ultimately what one needs to take into account that is actually still a child. Whether they have committed this particular crime, they're still a child. They're not an adult. You can't treat them as an adult. It also reduces the potential for re-offending and prevents the child from having a criminal record. That is what diversion does, and this is what is done, especially for children who are under the age of accountability, in order to steer them out of the criminal justice system, because the child can be rehabilitated. And it is obviously how we look at or how we deal with the child in order to restore and rehabilitate that particular child. Now, children over the age of 14 are generally presumed to be to have full criminal capacity.
Okay.
Now, there's a question. Are the parents now, as a parent of a child who's been involved in this criminal activity and so on, am I held liable for the actions of my child? A parent has limited parental liability. A parent cannot be held criminally liable for
All right, it is 29 after the hour, 5 o'clock. You're saying a parent cannot be held criminally liable for the actions of a child who is over 14 years old. And I think once again, we have lost our brother there, our guest.
I'm back.
Yeah, you are back. You were saying that, and we're left with literally about 3 minutes, two and a half to 3 minutes. You say that a child...
2.5 to 3 minutes. Okay. Parent has limited parental liability.
Yes, you did.
In other words, the parent cannot be held liable for the crime of the child. We focus on the actions of the child, and we focus on potentially can we rehabilitate this child. There are exceptions, however.
Yes.
And this exception comes where the parent is directly involved in the child's criminal activity. Or when the child's when the parent's negligence has led to the harm, right?
Yeah.
The parent can be held accountable in this case if the parent's negligence has led to the child's actions which have caused harm. So in other words, you need to be responsible. You cannot be negligent about the actions of the child. You need to be responsible. Make sure that the child is not exposed to potential situations that can cause the child to be involved in criminal activities.
But now, the school, though, can the school be held liable for that bullying?
Now, the school, in terms of the South African Schools Act, Section 60, provides that the state and not the school, if this is in a public school setup, the state can be held liable for the damage or loss or injury that is incurred by a learner through the activities of a public school. This happens where, in a situation where the school is aware, for instance, of incidents of bullying, but they fail to intervene.
All right, I think, Sindiso.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So if the school fails to intervene, then it can be held liable.
They can be held liable. That is correct. In other words, when the school is aware of bullying incidents, the school must take action, must take action against the bully and go through the very same processes we spoke about, restorative justice, the very same processes, make an inquiry as to the circumstances of the child, try and ascertain what could be causing this deviant behavior and so on and so forth, and try and get to the bottom of it. Try and get the child to counseling and so on and so forth. And those are the things that the schools need to actively take into account.
Well, very, very critical for schools in this instance, and also the children to steer clear of bullying. Cindy, so siyabonga kakhulu for joining us and for being very informative. I mean, it's a very important subject, especially in early development, you know, of our children. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Saman. Thank you to the listeners.
Lovely. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.